Ethics, Some Thoughts on How We Should Live, by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. This talk is a comparison of biblical ethics with some other suggestions, and a brief discussion of how Christianity is more than just an ethical system. So, ethics, how we should live. Back in the 1960s, when I was in college at Duke and in grad school at Cornell, a common saying seen on posters was, "Do it!" Since then, this has been picked up as a slogan by Nike, major maker of sportswear and equipment. Now let's think a little bit about the ethics of do it. After 50 or so years of reflection on this advice and observing the consequences that follow from obeying it, it strikes me that this is one of the most foolish ethical principles imaginable. It's not too far behind Faust's motto, "Evil, be thou my good." It would be interesting to know how many people in these intervening years have actually used this principle to guide their own lives. I even run across a t-shirt that says, "Just do it," on the front. Well, let's evaluate do it as an ethical principle. There are no doubt many people who have some good plans, but because of their own timid nature, never try to put these into effect. Such people, in such cases, may very well profit from obeying the advice of a friend to just do it. But, as a general principle of action, this advice, frankly, stinks. Well, why is that? Well, I have only lived in one head, mine, so I can't speak for others, but I strongly suspect that my experience is quite common, maybe even universal. Now and then, an idea pops into my mind, which is foolish, dangerous, or immoral. It would thus be foolish, dangerous, or immoral to obey such ideas. Let me give you some examples. When I was young and had just learned to ride a bicycle, I wondered what would happen if I suddenly turned sharply to the right or left while riding along. One doesn't need to major in physics, as I later did, to realize this would be quite disastrous. It's even very hazardous with an automobile. It was good for my health, then I've never tried this to find out what would happen. Another example. At some similar age, I noticed that a pair of tweezers had two prongs on the end, rather like those on an electrical plug. I wondered what would happen if I stuck the tweezer prongs into an electrical outlet. I did it, and was extremely fortunate that I only blew a fuse instead of being electrocuted. It's a wonder that I survived to adulthood. Another example. On a number of occasions while out hiking, I stood at the top of a cliff. I sometimes hear a voice inside my head that says, "Jump!" So far, I have not obeyed this impulse. This sort of thing should make one suspicious of acting on ideas without evaluating them. That is, just doing it. One wonders how many murders, rapes, and other such wicked actions may not be the result of someone just acting upon an impulse that comes into his mind. Clearly, just do it is not a good principle by which to conduct one's life. What could we put in place of this to help us decide how we should live? Well, what about the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We want to look at this golden rule in just a minute, but first a word from two famous philosophers, Calvin, not John, and Hobbes, not Thomas. Here's Calvin and Hobbes, and Calvin says to Hobbes, "I don't believe in ethics anymore. As far as I'm concerned, the ends justify the means. Get what you can while the getting's good. That's what I say. What might makes right. The winners write the history books. It's a dog world, so I have to do whatever I have to. So I'll do whatever I have to, and let others argue about whether it's right or not." And then Hobbes gives Calvin a shove. "Hey, why'd you do that?" says Calvin as he's looking up out of a mud puddle. "You are in my way. Now you're not. The ends justify the means." "I didn't mean for everyone, you dolt. Just me." "Ah." Well, The so-called golden rule spoken by Jesus in Matthew 7:12 would be a good rule for living. A somewhat similar idea is found in the ethics of numerous other cultures and religions. Here's a poster with the golden rule in the middle and all these various religions around it and their corresponding sayings. Not all of the sayings on this poster are very close to the golden rule, but a number are. Let's look at a few of the closer examples. Hinduism. This is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause you pain, what would cause pain if done to you. Mahabharata 5:13-17. Buddhism. Treat not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Udana Varga 5:18. I give no guarantee that my pronunciation of these various works is exactly right. Confucianism. One word which sums up the basis of all good conduct is loving kindness. Do not do to others what you do not want done to yourself. Analects 15:23. Taoism. Regard your own neighbor's gain as your own gain, and your neighbor's loss as your own loss. Taishong Kam Yinping 2:13-18. Islam. Not one of you truly believes until you wish for others what you wish for yourself. Muhammad Hadith. Judaism. What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole Torah. The rest is commentary, says Hillel in Shabbat 31a. Jainism. One should treat all creatures in the world as one would like to be treated. Mahaviru Sutra Kritanga. Zoroastrianism. Do not do unto others whatever is injurious to yourself. Shayasna Shayast 13:29. Well, these sayings are all rather similar, though most of them emphasize the negative, not doing what is harmful, rather than the positive, doing what is good. A similar saying is that of Jesus and of the Old Testament, love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22:39 and Leviticus 19:18. If everyone lived by such ethical principles, life would almost be heaven on earth, wouldn't it? But everyone doesn't live this way. Why not? Well, perhaps because of fear. I think most people are afraid to try to live this way. They fear someone will take advantage of them. And given the way people are, they're probably right. Yet the God of the Bible promises us that he works all things together for good for those who love him, Romans 8:28. This doesn't mean there may not be any bad short-term consequences of such behavior, that no one will take advantage of us. They may very well do so. It does mean that God will see to it that in the long run, perhaps beyond this life, it will be worth it all to have lived this way. Another ethical principle. This is where Christianity adds something that's often missing from other religions. Jesus said that the greatest principle is not to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, but to love God with all our being. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. So, if we love God with all we are and have, then we can trust him that it is ultimately safe to love others. We can trust him that he'll work all things together for good, even though this may not be obvious in the short term. This love for God provides an important foundation on which to build and stabilize our love for our neighbor. But there's another reason why people don't live this way. We aren't good enough. Try as we might, we often find ourselves doing things to others that we wouldn't want them to do to us, and not doing for them what we would wish others to do for us. That is, whatever we may say or think, we really don't love others like we love ourselves. A solution. This is where the Christian teaching about the Holy Spirit comes in. God himself, the Holy Spirit, comes to live within us, to cause us to want to be like him and to do what is right. This is also where the Christian teaching about the work of Jesus comes in. Jesus, who is also God himself, provides our righteousness and pays for our sins, thus providing room for us, so to speak, to begin to be what we ought to be. So biblical Christianity is an ethical system, all right, but it is more than just an ethical system. It is also a rescue system by which God solves the problem of our inability and even unwillingness to be what we ought to be. Let's look at some more of the ethical principles of biblical Christianity. The ones I cite here are all very general. There is, as I mentioned before, the first commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, Matthew 22:37. There is the second commandment: love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22:39. There's the golden rule, which we looked at: so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets, Matthew 7:12. Then there's some principles given by the prophet Micah. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God, Micah 6:8. And then Paul speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, Galatians 5:22-23. Conclusions then: when we trust in what Jesus has done, his death pays for our shortcomings. His life, perfect righteousness, provides a kind of ethical living that we cannot provide on our own. The Holy Spirit, when we trust in Jesus, begins to live within us, to begin to make us into what we were designed to be. We are thus provided with room, so to speak, to begin to be what we ought to be. We don't, people often do otherwise, try hard to do good, and then seeing that we fail again and again, we just give up, and so perhaps even go off and do as much evil as we can, because seeing that Christ has paid for our sin and has provided our righteousness, and seeing that the Holy Spirit is work in us, we can say, all right, I will get up again and try to do what I can to be like Jesus, to be like God, to honor him and love him. And so we go on, and we continue to try and live faithfully. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, John 10:10. So my question to you, my reader, is, would you like to have life to the full? You can, by calling out to God for forgiveness and by trusting in what Jesus has done. Well, that's the end of our little discussion on ethics. May we find God, who is the source of all true ethics. That's my prayer for you, my friend.